Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
The Bible is real clear that we are trying to get something in the physical that God said His people are to be led by the Spirit. And so I want to talk about being led by the Spirit. And why? Because if we don't have some people led by the Spirit, we're going to be fighting all the time. We're going to be doing this. But I believe the only hope for a world right now that don't have a clue on which side, Christian people don't have a clue which side to get on in this situation. They don't have a clue. What I'm telling you is we've got to get to a place where we're led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Matthew 4. Verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, became hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him this, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, he said, if you are the Son of God, the temptation that we have to see that Jesus was facing there was not turning stone into bread. It wasn't casting himself off the pinnacle and all. It wasn't any of that thing. The temptation that Jesus was facing right there was to doubt who God said he was. And that's the same thing that he does to each one of us. He wants you to doubt what God said. And here's what's happening is we are continuing to look at things in the physical, and the enemy's doing a wonderful job of looking at everything from the physical. Christians are looking at things in the physical, and they're saying, where's God? And the devil's saying, I don't know. Why are you serving him? And if you keep that attitude, you're looking for something to happen in the physical, and we've got to be looking for the spiritual. We've got to be led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit, and then there was a temptation in the physical. If you are led by the Spirit, you can know that as you're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit led him in to the wilderness where there was a temptation. I am tempted every day to punch someone in the face. And if I operated only according to my flesh, then that might happen. If I operate only because I'm led by the flesh, that might happen. But if I'm led by the Spirit, then I can have a spirit response that overwhelms the physical. And not just for me, but the people who have the wrong narrative, whichever side you're on. Jesus said, John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. And here's what Jesus said about some works that we are to do. And Jesus said, Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Don't drink anything deadly. It says, if you do. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those are signs that follow those who believe, according to what Jesus said. Those are signs that follow that. So I've asked myself, how much are those signs following me because I'm a believer? How much are those signs following? You have scripture after scripture and word after word that's been spoken about you on who you are and what you are to do. And what I'm telling you is I'm just not watching enough of that. And so I want to continue to dive into more of what God has for us on how we are to be led by the Spirit. See, it's a supernatural truth that should affect and dictate how we walk in life. I've learned that what brings on the power and the Spirit of God is a knowing and a believing what He said about you, that it's true. What He said about you is true. You're more than a conqueror. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are blessed in. You are blessed out. Where else are you? Either in or out, one of the two. I just want to be aware of who God said we are. And we're oftentimes putting our confidence in physical things, and we're being led by the physical. And right now, I think that's a real attempt by the enemy to get God's people to be led by what's going on, physically speaking. And I'm not in fear. If you're a Christian, you'd be wearing a mask. You'd be doing. I'm not debating any of that. What I'm telling you is, if you're led by the Spirit of God, then that will bring your response on how you operate, and the love of God will shine forth regardless of what's happening. But what we're doing is we're watching the physical be our response to everything. And we oftentimes put our confidence in the wrong area. See, if you're putting your confidence in the physical things, then what you know, when Satan attempts to tempt you physically, then you're going to think it's possible for you to have what he's tempting you with physically, and so your response will be physical. He tempts you in the natural because he wants your responses to be natural. And what I want you to know is Jesus responded supernaturally to a natural temptation. That was good. I should have wrote that in my notes. I just want to be careful that what we don't do is we don't get religious in here and start looking for an experience in the physical to then be what gets our attention on the word. And my concern is that most people don't look back to their salvation. And remember, do you realize that the only way that you got saved was spiritual? The way you accepted Jesus was a supernatural response. You accepted what he did that you weren't here to see. It was a couple thousand years ago. On a cross. You accepted that by faith. And you said, I am now saved. And then you told people, I've accepted Jesus. You accepted him. You accepted him spiritually. It was in your spirit. Your spirit was made right with God. And what happens is we start accepting him spiritually, and then we look for the physical as evidence. And I just want to get our thinking turned here. See, we're missing what God has for us in a time right now that everything is exaggerated physically. That's all we're talking about. Turn on the news. You know, you can't live at a super high experience in the physical 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't. God wants to reveal himself not through just watching the evidence of a healing, but he wants to reveal himself through faith, the same way he revealed himself through faith when you got saved. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please him. God is a God of faith, and he wants you to have a relationship with him based on faith. And so here's the deal. Next time someone wants to get in an argument with you about whether you should or shouldn't have a mask, whether you should listen to the law, whether you should be this or be that, here's what you can say. Wait a minute here. What does God want? Well, that's not the issue. It is for me. The issue is for me that God wants me to live by faith. Does that mean I need to wear a mask? Or not? No. It means that I need to live in a belief system in Jesus. Now, I'm just here to tell you, if we start maintaining a relationship based on faith, things will start happening that we never thought about before. But I don't know if anybody's ever asked this question. Why didn't God do this? Why didn't he? I mean, because if we believe that he can do anything, then why don't he just open up the heavens and speak to us in an audible voice? Now, I've heard testimony of people in this very room that have said, I heard God speak in an audible voice. I thought I did, but it was my buddy playing a trick on me. But I thought I heard him and it was an audible voice. You know, if God wanted to, he could have a bird come just land on your shoulder and start talking to you. If God wanted to, he could have your dog walk up and say, hey, you're not thinking right here. Would that freak you out? See, why doesn't he do those things? Because you're looking for the voice of God in something physical. And we've missed that God's a God of faith. God has done physical manifestations, and I get all of that. And I'm not here to deny those things. But, you know, what we see a lot on Facebook is people posting pictures of clouds over Jerusalem. And here's the deal. I'm not here to deny that God doesn't do manifestations. I'm not here. I mean, I have seen him supernaturally move in my wife's life. In my life, I have those experiences. But if I was dependent upon an experience for me to touch the hem of his garment every time I turn a corner, I'm dependent on an experience, then I've got to go back a few years. See, Jesus could have come on a spacecraft and manifested himself and showed up and said, "Here I am, everybody serve me." And I think that he probably would have got a few more followers that way. Matthew 11, though, says, "I am meek and lowly of heart." Now, I want you to get this. Jesus is not a show-off. He wants people to know him by faith. If it was only through the physical that he showed himself, then here's what would happen. We would always have to have the physical for us to believe in what he is and who he is. And if we're not careful, being a church that does believe in signs and wonders, then we live on signs and wonders instead of the spiritual that God has saved. I know this will help somebody tonight because it helps me to get it. When I start understanding, if he only showed himself through physical, then we would always be looking for the physical. That's all we'd be looking for. Glenn, is Glenn here? Look, Glenn, right there. Glenn was sharing some of his testimony on Facebook the other day. And since I'm a snooper, I snooped. It showed up on my feed. And I thought, what Glenn have to say? And here's what I didn't do. I didn't ask Glenn for permission because here's what I know about Glenn. Glenn is very straightforward about his relationship with God. And he'll tell anybody that asks him. And so I just know he's all right with this. Here's what he did. He quoted scripture on social media. And he may have done it in more than one place, but I'm only in one area on social. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans," and this is what he wrote, "I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope." God says, "I know the plans that I have for you." And I like you because it's individual. God has a plan for you. And here's the thing that you got to know. It's plans for good and not for disaster, and plans to give you a future and a hope. Do you not always read that verse and relate it to physical things? I've been guilty. Plans for good. Do you know it's a good thing that we get heaven and not hell? But right now, you're only believing that by faith because you don't have a physical example of it. So you're believing it by faith and by vision and by prophecy. You're believing about it, but that's a good thing. And so they're plans for good. God says, "I know the plans for you. I know the plans I have for you. They're good. They're not for disaster. They're not for calamity. And they're to give you a future and a hope." Do you need a future and a hope when you get to heaven? You'll be on a different timeline. You'll be on God's timeline then. And his timeline, he thinks on eternal things. Eternity, eternal things. We're finite beings. So we always have an end to everything we think. Oh, it's good. The vacation's going to be so good, but it's going to come to an end. Vacation's going to be so fun. I don't know if you're ever in vacation, and the first day you're there, you're like, "I got 3 more days, and then I got 2 more days, and then I got 1 more day, and oh, man, it's the last day. Do we have to go home?" Why? Because we're finite beings and we're always looking at the end. Even if we're excited about it and thrilled about it, we're always looking. Here's what Glenn said. He said, basically, we got to quit getting caught up on seeing God. If you know anything about Glenn's eyes, you know when he wrote the word "seeing," it was all capitalized. On seeing God, because he was born blind. God gave him a miracle. You get caught up seeing God from a physical manifestation. And we got to put our focus, and here's what he said, fully and purely on him alone. As I read that, it just spoke to me because he has every reason to see God from a physical standpoint because he did something physical. And so I'm going to serve him because of what he did for me physically. But I want to move God's people to a place that we serve him from what he did for us spiritually. And you can only do that when you're led by the Spirit. God doesn't want you to live on an emotional, natural experience. And that's what Glenn was saying. God created us to be in a position where we're not limited to the physical realm. We are opened up to something that's unlimited. Most of us consider things to be normal that the world might consider it as abnormal. Here's what I'm getting at. When you tell someone you're saved and you're trying to explain that to them in the five senses, you've got a problem right off the bat. Here's what it did for me. It made me have, I got goosebumps. When I tell my story of salvation, I tell it about after I got saved, I got to stand on some shag carpet and call my grandparents. And it was shag carpet that I usually couldn't stand on. So I'm going to try to make it make sense and make people go, wow, that's amazing, all based on the physical. Well, I get to go to heaven now. Well, what did it do for you tomorrow? And most people are only going to be able to tell that based on a physical response. And I just, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we got to start being able to communicate different than just physical. We got to have a spiritual sense that's bringing information. See, what do the five senses do? They bring information into your person, the five senses do, from five ways. And they bring information into your being. Here's what happens. When you experience a supernatural healing, there was a time that I could not do this with my neck. I couldn't do it. God healed me, and now I can do this with my neck. How did that happen? I can tell you one of the ways it happened is because someone was gifted in, had a gift of healing, laid hands on me. I don't understand it, except for it was a spiritual thing that was. After they laid hands on me, I walked out of there, and I still could only move my head about this far. The next morning, I could move it about this far. About that way the whole day. The next morning, I could move it about this far. And the third morning, I could move it about this. And so I experienced a physical, and what if I'm not careful, I'll always go back, and I'll always just tell what happened to me physically. Am I appreciative of the physical? You bet. But see, that's not how I see God. And I think that we've got to get to a place where we understand God can feed information into your person in other ways other than the five senses. Well, what's another way? Through faith. He can feed information into you through faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 said, we see those things that can't be seen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith, not by sight. Now that the new birth has come and we've been restored, Adam and Eve were created beings, or not created, they were created in the human being form. They were created, and they were living so much by their heart being in tune with God's heart, by faith, that they received more from their faith sense than they did their five physical senses. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it's a big deal. We have been restored now, like Adam and Eve were before they gave up dominion and reign to the enemy. We've been restored, so we have the option of walking with a sixth sense. Heard a good preacher one time make this comment. Adam and Eve have six senses, not five. Their sixth sense was the sense of faith. They walked with a heart and a belief in God that was stronger than their physical sense. See, when they ate the fruit, I'll say they, I like to just say Eve did and Adam just followed. But because that's what men say, right? It's wrong thinking. When they ate the fruit, their eyes were opened. Have you ever read that scripture in Genesis 3? When they ate the fruit, their eyes were open. And they knew they were what? They were naked. They knew they were naked. Have you ever asked, did they not know that before they ate the fruit? Here's the answer to that. They didn't know. They didn't know. Well, had they walked with their eyes closed? I can give you the answer to that, because in verse 6, right before she messed up, they messed up. Genesis 3, verse 6, right before the mess up, it says she saw the tree. She saw the tree. So obviously her eyes were open. And it says the tree was pleasant to the eyes. Do you realize that when they their eyes were opened before the fall? Their physical eyes were open, but they weren't letting that be how they viewed God. They were led so much, they were seen with their heart in a way that I feel like we have more available to us than what we're accessing. We have more to this walk by faith, not by sight, because we are so caught up in a world that sees everything from a physical view. Adam and Eve were relating to God in the spiritual realm. Their spiritual eyes were open in the spirit realm, so much so that they never noticed that they were naked. You know, even if you could get that spiritual in today's world, please don't walk naked. We'll make sure we don't misconstrue what I'm talking about, because there are others that aren't as spiritual as you might get. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, surrounded by the Syrian troops, was asked by his servant. It's just him and his servant. What should we do? And Elisha said, "Fear not. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Do you know the servant had eyes and was looking and going, "No, they're not." I mean, really, he's looking around going, you could count the Syrians by the thousands, but with the physical eyes that you were seeing the Syrians with, you could only count two, him and Elisha. Okay, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? I don't know what's going on. What I want you to do is relate that story to us today. Anyone can look at you and see that you're sick physically. I've seen it on people. I've seen that they're mentally in anguish. I've seen that they're sick physically. Have you ever heard these words? "You feeling okay?" If anyone ever says that to you, what's your response? Well, if you're not, "No, I'm not. How do you know?" Or if you are, you're like, "Why do I look bad?" Because people can see when there's something wrong physically. Anyone can look at you and see if you're outnumbered. If we'd have been sitting there with Elisha and the servant, we'd have looked and said, hey, Elisha, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. You just said, "Fear not. Those that are with us are more than..." Open your eyes. Physically, you are being a bonehead, a meathead. And what he was saying was, wait a minute here, I'm looking at something with more than just five senses. See, he was looking at something with the Spirit of God. God, when you say God is supplying all of my needs, you know, that comment in and of itself sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? But it's real physical. But when you say according to his riches, what are his riches? His riches are the same thing that Jesus accessed when he was being tempted physically. If this is who you are, prove yourself physically. If God is who he is, God, prove yourself physically. Show up and heal me. Do this, do this. See, when you say God's supplying all my needs, you're oftentimes referring to the physical. Elisha said there's more with us than are with them. People in the natural say, well, that's a lie. The prophet has lost it. There's two of you and there's thousands of them. But if you take into account all of reality, and what I mean is the spiritual life is real. So that's a reality that the world is not seeing right now. Turn on the news. The world is not seeing the reality. I watched two people that in the physical would have had no way to get from Africa to America to see their granddaughter. There's no way in the natural that was going to happen. But for weeks before that, prayers were going out. And I can tell you, in that time, there was some spiritual battles happening. But there was an angel or something that God commanded and got them through, and they were here the day before. How did that happen? It happened in the spirit realm. I don't know. But I know that there were some prayer warriors that it was implemented. See, if you take the totality of reality, then Elisha's statement was true. In the spiritual world, there's a reality that is more real than what you can even see with your physical eyes. Elisha raised his hand to the heaven and said, God, smite him blind. And right before that, he said, and God, open up the eyes of my servant. And his spiritual eyes were open. And can you imagine how big his eyes were then? I can just, I didn't see that. There's way more. There's chariots of fire. There are horses by the thousands. We got this. If we could see with some spiritual eyes, then when we start seeing things in the physical that we think is getting ready to get us, then we could respond like Elisha did and said, God, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, I know it's an old Michael W. Smith song. It's old, but come on. Open the eyes of our heart, God. We need some people led by the Spirit. We've got to operate different. People will say, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And people look at you like you are a fruitcake. You are healed in the name of Jesus. The only thing they can do is go to a doctor and say, yeah, they were right. I was healed. But the Bible says you have the same Spirit living in you that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So when you say that, can you stand on that until you see it manifest? You can't tell what's happening in the spiritual. I get that. But when you only look at life from five physical senses, you're in trouble. And we've got to get to a place where we can see in the spiritual. This stinking virus is ruining things. Or it's letting a Christian go, wait a minute, I never was dependent upon the five senses anyway. So I'll just continue to be led by the Spirit. Put a mask over my face, and I hate it because you can't see the smile on my face. And when I walk in, I'm not just waiting somebody to say to me because I'm getting ready to punch somebody. No, when I walk in and I don't have and they'll say something, I'll smile and say, bless your heart. Praise God. Do I need to pray for you? Don't be patronizing. But there's got to be something that, see, I just want to tell you now, we got to live by the Spirit. And we got to resist the temptation to live by the physical. One last thing, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, it didn't say this is the preferred way to do it. If you're going to worship God, I prefer you do it this way. What it says is, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, how do you worship him in spirit? Through your spirit. Let's go back to the original text. Satan was trying to get Jesus to respond in the physical. And if you are looking for a time with the Lord to say that was really good because you got goosebumps or because you got emotional, then you've already missed. See, that's just icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. And we've got to get to a place where God's people are led by the Spirit. Satan cannot change the spiritual things God has done in your life. The Lord wants us to relate to him by faith. There isn't one single example of Jesus appearing to anyone after He was raised out of the grave. There isn't one single example of Jesus appearing to anyone except for those that already believed in him before his resurrection. That's what you think about that. People are continually trying to come up with something physical to prove that God exists. That's why we have apologetics, and I teach apologetics. But let me just tell you that God did not appear to anyone physically except for those that had already believed in him. God, if you just speak to me, you need to get saved. You're looking for something in the physical to prove him. And he wants to prove himself in the spirit. If he wanted, he could make everyone believe that he is God. He could come up and rebuke you every time. We talked about the dog. The dog could come up and rebuke you. How would you like if your dog came up and rebuked you? That'd be horrible. Well, God could make that happen. But that's not what's... See, being in the spirit, we've got to get to a place where it's better than being in the flesh. But we're looking for a flesh experience so that we can prove the spiritual. Are you hearing me tonight? Satan was trying to get Jesus out of the spirit and into the flesh. That's what was happening in our text. We're trying to get Jesus manifested physically so that we will believe in him spiritually. We need to believe in him spiritually and appreciate the physical when it happens. See, we need to be moved based on what the Word of God says, not moved on just what we experience. I'm just going to throw this out. There is an excitement in the Spirit. There is an anointing that goes with the Spirit. And have you ever been around someone you go, man, I know they're a Christian. How did you know that? Was it a physical smile? Was it a gesture? Was it that they slipped you a $100 bill and said, God told me to do this? Was it a physical gesture? Or was it because you're walking in the Spirit and they're walking in the Spirit and you used a fifth sense that you really hadn't been grabbing a hold of? And what I want to do is I want to have that fifth sense. I want to have that faith sense every time, wherever I'm at. And Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. And you know where from? His glorious riches. Where are those? They're in heaven. They've been given to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus came from God. They were given to us from a heavenly source. And so we are going to have all of our needs supplied according to a heavenly source. How do we get them? From a spiritual mindset. So we've got to be led by the Spirit. You know, when you're led by the Spirit, a lot of things fall off of you. You quit getting so concerned about some things. When I was reading Glenn's post, he goes, I'm just not so caught up on my eyesight. And I thought, some people may say, well, that's just a lack of faith, Glenn. No, he's saying that's fine when that happens. But what I'm telling you is I'm caught up on God. See, I'm caught up on the Spirit. Can we get some people right here? I'm just saying, if we could all start walking in this, you wouldn't believe what this world would. Just this group right here, you wouldn't believe what would happen. Whether you get that healing to manifest itself or not, I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit believing. I'm not going to quit laying hands on people. I'm not going to quit anointing them with oil because I believe that there can be a manifestation in the physical. I've watched it. I'm getting ready to watch it here within the next week. Mason and I'm getting ready to watch that. Watch Hudson just. I'd love to say I'm getting ready to watch Hudson just walk out of that, but he'll walk being held out of. That'd be supernatural. You're right. But it would still come from the Spirit. All I'm saying is can we get satisfied first in the Spirit and then start watching things manifest? I hope you got something out of that tonight. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.